Support for the PWTcast is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Their products are precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped's Performance Package is the ultimate men's hygiene bundle. Join over 7 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you. 20% off, a whole ass 20% off, and free worldwide shipping with the code PWTcast at manscaped.com. If my math is correct, it's about 14 million balls. All right. So if you have balls, head on over to Manscaped and use promo code PWTcast for 20% off and free worldwide shipping. And now, on to the show.
The following podcast is scheduled for one fall. Hailing from the Pro Wrestling Tees headquarters in Chicago, Illinois, he is your host of the PWTcast, Scrump!
Bang, bang, what is up, you guys? Welcome to episode 221 of the PWTcast. My name is Scrump.
My name is Drew.
And we are live in from the studio apartment in Chicago, Illinois. Yeah, motherfuckers, this is live edition.
Live edition. That's why it's late.
Yeah, it is a little bit late. I'm sorry, Drugs Laney.
Yeah.
I know you're... He's
furious right now.
Or he's very happy that we're doing this in person. Yeah, old Drewski came by to visit me in Chicago.
Yeah.
I just finished taking him to the Art of Chicken.
Delicious.
Yeah, might have finessed us some free elote for life. Still not sure. Still got to figure that out.
Yeah.
Perhaps.
There's some kinks to maybe work out there, but yeah.
Very much some kinks to work out. But of course, yeah, this is the official podcast of Pro Wrestling Tees. Bringing this podcast right here on this feed for free every Monday. If you already aren't, make sure you're following us over on social media. We're at PWTcast on Instagram and Twitter, as well as patreon.com/PWTcast. It's a brand new month, so if you want to go ahead and sign up. Just last week, oh man, I'm be talking so much Dune. I would do anything for fucking Paul Atreides. But just last week, myself and WH Park, we reviewed Dune, the Denis Villeneuve's 2021 Dune. This week, myself and James, we're talking The Gift. And then again, later in the month, we're going to be talking Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, Godzilla Minus One, and Ghostbusters 2, I believe. So go ahead, sign up, $5. This is weird doing this with you being this close. I mean, I'm used to seeing you all the time.
Yeah.
Like,
this is about how we see each other anyway, but it's just,
Yeah.
I don't want to look at you. It's weird. I'm like looking off to the side.
I came up with the plan. I was like, hey, we're going to be together Monday anyway.
Yeah.
It's been just a wild 24 hours. In as much as I've only slept about 2 hours the last 24 hours. So I don't know. If I woke up right now on fucking Frank's couch and I was just like, and I was like, where's Drew? And they're like, who's Drew? As you know, I'll get into it later without naming names, but I had some fucked up dreams.
And you're like, man, what about like the pandemic a couple years ago? What pandemic?
Which is funny because I think it's like
2018.
Yeah, because today is like the...
Here's your dick costume, Scrub.
Because I think it was like today 4 years ago when fucking the world shut down.
Yeah, just about. Yeah, it was like first week of March. Yeah. Second week of March, yeah.
Yeah, and now here we are. Now the CDC is like, hey, if you're sick, don't even bother with fucking...
Yeah.
They're like, what are you fucking stupid? And you're like... I'm just trying not to give everyone COVID. They're like, oh, you're trying to give everyone COVID? don't be a fucking idiot. And you're like, okay, like, I guess I won't be a fucking an idiot.
I guess I should just listen to all those name.
Alex Jones. It's not wrong.
Ooh.
You know?
Yeah, sure. The frogs are gay.
I mean, you know, it's what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Dude, again, this is fun. It's the first time we're doing this live. And again, mind you, we do this every week.
Yeah.
Like
multiple times a week.
Multiple times a week for multiple years now.
Yeah.
You know, whether it was your show, or at the Draft Pod or here. But, we also have a music podcast. We have a Scrump and Drew's Music Box, which at some point in the next day or two, possibly even tonight, don't know, is scheduled to be recorded. So
with the aforementioned
James. Yeah, with the aforementioned James, yeah, as we are recording The Gift. So look out for that. But
did you mention the special Vivian edition?
Oh yeah, and so as well too for you at any level of the Patreon. Yeah. So as you guys know, Vivian, you know, she's our
star detective. She's gonna get to the bottom of us.
Yeah, you know, she's our astrology queen.
Yeah,
and so she's going to perform a reading for the both of us. She's gonna read our birth charts, tell us our rising, our sun sign, our moon sign, and I think rising. I don't know. It's, you know, that
man, way. I have this book at home. It's like the book of birthdays, and it breaks down all that stuff. So what I'll do is after that, when I get back home, I'll send you a picture and then we'll see like how, like see if the stuff lines up. But this is a 20-year-old book. I mean, things might've changed by then. So, you know,
yeah, I feel like some of the spicy language in that book might've changed. Like, yeah. Oh, you're like, we can't say those words anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, specifically there's like, like, wow, they use the N word a lot in this birthday book.
It's like, you can't call them gypsies. See? You know, what is it? Like Romani. It's like, not if you're the author of this book.
Yeah.
But
again, I got a problem. I think I talked about it where I have a problem with that one, because there are also gypsies from other countries. Like,
that'll be interesting though. We're gonna record that because again, it's something we talked about for a while now, and we're finally gonna get to it.
Yeah.
So that should be funny. We're gonna record with her tomorrow, but I mean, okay, I don't even. I'm trying to think if I put anything in my notes. As far as, again, I do have the,
I mean, I guess we can just talk about Stinger.
Yeah. Cause it's, the Royal Rumble was last week, right?
Royal Rumble? Elimination Chamber.
Elimination Chamber. Well, cause I have in my notes.
Yeah. Well, we talked about it though. Cause it was after, cause it was a Saturday.
Okay. Yeah. So these are definitely last week's notes. Well, yeah. So I guess.
Unless we recorded early. I don't know when we.
I mean, listen, it says,
who care at this
listen,
you guys are all over the Elimination Chamber at this point,
right? Yeah, no, that was definitely, this is Virgil passed away, Crow reboot, Sean Spears returns, Tama Tonga to WWE. So this was definitely last week's notes, not this week's.
Well, Virgil just passed away Thursday. But
we already talked about this.
But did we? I feel like Virgil just passed away like,
no, because he 4 days got no, because he
4 or 5
got a,
days ago.
No, because he had a thing on SmackDown and AEW that was just like, oh, in honor of Michael Jones.
Huh. All right.
Yeah. No, it's, you know.
Well, shoot. Because I feel like because I actually have a fucking sad Virgil story or whatever.
Oh well, fucking let's hear it.
Yeah. So I remember this was probably like 2000, 2001. Myself and Wes's brother Jim were at the Franklin Park Mall in Toledo, Ohio, and we're just walking around and we're like, and he's out there with his table with like Virgil and Ted DiBiase, right? His sign that says like, you know, and then we're like, he's like, yeah, you know, Ted couldn't make it and blah, blah, blah. And then it was like, you know, 10 years later, we found out like, that was just his thing. Like he was promoting both of them and then telling everybody that Ted couldn't make it, but Ted had no fucking clue about it. And it's just like, yeah, like this is just him fucking working everybody of just like, oh yeah, it's the pair. We're coming.
The mania that I went down to for Dallas.
Okay.
I remember I was at that WrestleCon that year. Cause that was like the first year that like Ryan sent me to WrestleCon and I got a bunch of autographs for him. And I remember, God, I'm trying to figure out who was supposed to you put it on the table if you want. Just put it on this.
Oh, okay. Well, I just didn't know if it was gonna be like boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, I mean, I don't. Okay. I have actual coasters, but they've
not. No. I wasn't worried about like that. I was worried about like the noise of like slamming things down on the table. Oh,
it should be fine.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. Someone was supposed to show up. I want to say honestly, like a Marty Jannetty.
Yeah.
And they didn't. And then Virgil literally just walked up and just set up a table. And like the people from WrestleCon came over and were kind of just like, hey, like you can't just set up a table. And he tried to anyway. And they're just like, yeah, no, like you can't just fucking set up a table. And
that's so you always bring your gear, right?
Like, yeah, exactly. And then I did meet him the following year in Orlando.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I remember him walking around there. I don't think he had a table there. He was just walking. Because when we, I remember that, because when was it, the Thursday or the Friday we got it? I think it might have been the Friday morning. But like, yeah, I just remember like him walking around every table, like talking to people and stuff too. It's just like, oh, Virgil.
Well, I specifically remember, what do you call it, him, like he was there with someone that had, it was like some sort of like window business or something, because like I went and got an 8x10 from uh-huh. him, and he gave it to me in like a little folder that was just like someone, again, it was like window siding, it was probably like,
oh, Velcro, my god, something, yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah,
some random shit like that, and I was just like, what the fuck, like this is weird, but
yeah, always working, man. He's a carny, he was a carny for sure,
always like, working, brother. Yeah, yeah, pour one out for a fuck, and a cool name, Mike, yeah, Jones,
that's right,
yeah.
Yeah,
like fucking Houston's own.
That's right.
Yeah, a wrestling legend in his own. Yesterday we got to see a lot of wrestling legends. Though. Well, I, yeah, at least I did. Yesterday, well, it's got, listen, we have no notes, so mm-hmm. it's gonna be all over the place. But Revolution happened.
Yes,
I never had so much FOMO than I did.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Like there's, so I almost feel sort of jaded when it comes to these shows because, again, it's just like I don't. Sometimes, you know, it's like sometimes I'm just like, ugh, like I gotta go on another show.
Oh yeah.
Ugh, great. And
gotta sit front row again.
Oh, I gotta sit front row again. Oh, I gotta watch Will Ospreay and Kenny Omega wrestle. Ugh.
It's the worst.
Yeah, it's the fucking worst, man. No, but I did have interest in going to this show, mm-hmm. but it was one of those things again. I'd already committed to cat sitting, mm-hmm. and it just economically wouldn't have made sense.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, fucking, like, there's people that, you know, there's people there that I could have fucking hung out, you know, I know Braden and Davey were there, other people, were, you know, other people were there,
yeah.
God, I totally would have been like, hey, I got us better seats, you can bring your friend, she can come sit with us too, West Side Gun was there, I'm putting it out in the universe now. Mm-hmm. Maybe at the next pay-per-view, because I want to go to the one in St. Louis.
Yeah.
I'm going to sit next to West Side Gun at one of these shows. It's going to happen. I'm going to sit next to fucking West Side Gun, and we're going to become friends.
What is that St. Louis one? Is it in April?
4/21, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, because it's, I think Vinny's birthday is either the 19th or the 21st.
Okay.
Because I'm like, oh yeah.
It's that, like, kind of makes sense, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the 21st though, but yeah. And it's in St. Louis, which is, again, it's, I believe it's like a 2-hour drive.
Yeah.
Actually, I could probably look it up.
I have a friend that's actually, I think, a friend of the show. If so, what up, Deb? That is that lives in St. Louis. So.
Wait, maybe. St. Louis, Missouri.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a 4-hour drive. Really, I thought it was closer. I don't know. I don't know who I'm fucking conferring that with. I'm just like,
wait. What did you? You thought it was like a 2-hour? Will 2 hours even get you out of Illinois?
I guess that doesn't make sense considering it took me 1 hour to get to Rockford.
Yeah.
I mean, regardless, it's only 4 hours. I would probably make that into a single day event. But I'm gonna sit next to West Side Gun at one of the shows.
Oh yeah.
I'm speaking it now. I'm manifesting it. It's gonna happen, guys.
It's gonna make the noise the whole time.
I can't. Like, I'm gonna, like, maybe I'll joke around and be like, dude, like, remember Action Bronson?
Can you leave my voice message? Yeah. My outgoing voice.
Can you be like, hey yo, Birdo's not here. Leave a message on his phone.
Dude, that would be amazing.
Oh god, it'd be the best. Yeah, no way he would do it. See, I'd figure out some way to be his friend.
Like, look. Any shirt you want,
dude. You
from wanna, Peter Pro Wrestling Tees.
You want a fucking Sting micro brawler? Get you in a Sting micro brawler, buddy. What do you want? Like, which was funny too yesterday when, like, watching the feed I was watching was mm-hmm. like the full Sting speech, because I know a lot of people were complaining because it, like, got cut off.
Yeah,
which they wind up uploading the whole thing. Stop fucking crying. Because those, everyone was like, oh, they fucking. Why they have to put on the scramble match? They could have used that time for that. It's like, calm down. They put it out.
Yeah.
But it's just like Sting going ringside and like saying hi to everyone and stuff like that. First off, seeing people trying to get stuff signed and him saying no, and just seeing the look on their faces, it's just like, oof. But seeing West Side Gun so happy to be fair. And it's funny because, like, I was looking at his story and it's him posting, like, he's just so giddy, you know. And normally when he's sitting there, he's just fucking chill and cool, just fucking just being a cool guy. But with this, he was like super giddy, and like I essentially got to see both sides of it. I was like, good for him. He got to fucking, you know, he got the two sweet fucking sting. Like,
it's the icon, man.
Yeah. But yeah, last night he officially retired, 30-0. As Tony Khan pointed out, he 29 undefeated matches in AEW, and then he had the one in Noah. It was like the Muda's last match. So he retired 30-0, which is good. Like, it's, you know, say what you will. Again, I'm like, I've talked about it before. I'm someone who Sting to me was the guy who looked like the Crow. So that was my instant association with him. But once you start learning about like wrestling history, it's like the impact the guy fucking had, you know. And he didn't go to WWE, you know, he went to TNA, to Impact, and he stayed there forever. And then when he finally did go to WWE, like, they wasted him. Yeah. He had four or five matches. The only, he had, I think it was like four or five matches. The only match he won was a tag team match on Raw, where it's like him and John Cena versus Seth Rollins in the Big Show, which is a fucking shame. Like, you know, because they were just going to bury him.
Yeah.
That's what they did.
Yeah.
Like, there was never going to be a fucking a payoff to anything. They were just, I don't know if you know this, Drew, the, you know, the former owner of that company tends to be a little petty.
Yeah. That's what I understand. Yeah.
And it's funny how it's still very much ingrained in that company. Yeah. Like, you know, Naomi, you know, she left and came back, and people are confused.
Yeah.
Why she's getting fucking buried in like a minute with no entrance. And it's just like, what do you think happens when you leave?
Yeah.
They look at Cody. Cody left. Yeah, they let him main event.
Yeah.
They didn't give him shit.
Yeah.
They didn't give him the fucking belt. And I hope they do this time. Would not be shocked if they don't. You know, like, it's one of those, it's like, you don't get rewarded for leaving and getting over on your own. Unless they fire you. You leave?
No.
No. No, they don't. They don't let you. But, you know, again, it was just very underwhelming. And most of us were on the assumption his career was over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he took that like nasty fucking buckle bomb from Seth Rollins and the spinal stenosis.
Yeah, I mean, that's usually a death sentence. But I mean, you know, like, Edge has come back from it now.
Sheamus, Ciampa, Austin.
Yeah.
You know.
It's just, I don't know. I guess those stack of dimes, as Austin always says, like, you know, they're figuring out something to actually make it. Because, yeah, from what I understand, like, stenosis is the, it's like where it becomes very thin, right? And like literally like whiplash in a car could almost like sever your spine.
Essentially, like, it's like fucking.
Like, I remember watching something about, like, actually, this was on a long time ago. It was on the Caesar Milan Dog Whisperer. And there was a lady who had it, and like the dog would jump, and she was afraid like that, like just the dog jumping and her like reacting to it was gonna like break her neck. So like, she's like, yeah, I need my dog to calm the fuck down.
it's one of those things to me too, where like, it's fucking scary.
Yeah.
You know, and again, with him, think about it. He's I think he's like 65.
Yeah.
He's like 60, you know, he's.
And he's still like, he's like, oh, Darby, hold my root beer.
Yeah, he can still fucking go.
Yeah.
But,
and he was still like, I said, like, he was doing those Darby ass stunts that you're just like, come on, man. Like,
you don't have to, balconies,
but thank you.
Yeah. And, you know, again, what I took out of it too was just like, more, because that's the thing, unfortunately, with wrestling, think about it. Like, not everyone gets that retirement.
Yeah.
Bret Hart didn't get that retirement.
Yeah.
You know, fucking Eddie Guerrero didn't get that retirement.
Mm-hmm.
Kurt Angle didn't get that retirement. You know, like, I know there was like controversy because fucking Darby Allin, rightfully so, was calling out, like, it was a little bitch move that you let someone decide your fucking retirement, which is a thing that I fucking said when it happened. Was just like, no one likes Baron Corbin. You should not be wrestling Baron Corbin. You want to wrestle John Cena, you should wrestle John Cena.
Yeah.
But it's one of those fucking things where it's like these dudes that like idolize Vince McMahon as some sort of deity and don't want to say no.
Yeah.
And so you wind up fucking wrestling Baron Corbin in an unforgettable match and stuff like that. But again, just not everyone gets that retirement, especially.
Yeah. And then like the people who do, like, they fuck it up, like Flair, and you know,
Sean
had it for years. He was actually like, no, and then he took that, and he took that paycheck.
Arabia money, brother.
Exactly. So, yeah, man, like it is like, hopefully Sting is like, hopefully he's the type of guy, but he is the type of guy to be like, no, it's done. You know, this is the same guy who, you know, turned down WWE money for years and everything else just to, you know, cause like, no, I'm good. I like what I'm doing here.
Yeah.
And like, you know, he stands on principle, which is it's a rare thing, especially in that business. Like, as much as there are these artists that, you know, sometimes they're just like, yeah, but I can get paid a lot to do my artwork.
Exactly. Very quickly, I'll just with the card, the opener with Christian Cage and Daniel Garcia. Again, it was a fun match. A lot of shenanigans from the patriarchy and stuff like that. Daniel Garcia is someone that I desperately hope, like, they just keep running with him. Mm-hmm. You know, again, we talked about it where I was like, he was super hot.
Yeah.
And he got fucking sucked into the Jericho verse.
Yeah.
And that just killed all his momentum. But it, you know, it's like the under 30 crowd right now. You know, you have Darby, you have fucking Daniel Garcia, you have MJF, you have fucking Jay White, like there's like Will Ospreay, Konosuke Takeshi, like there are so many, Kyle O'Reilly, there are so many dudes who are just like so good, and they haven't even fucking, you know, hit their peak yet.
Yeah,
like they're still very good. And again, Daniel Garcia is one of those dudes that I very much hope that they keep running with him, something with him, because he's proved it. He can be this fucking serious wrestler. He can be like a sports entertainer. Like, the guy has the tools to do it all. And again, in there with Christian, it was a more old school sort of style of wrestling, and it worked. Like, it nothing felt out of place and stuff like that. So,
yeah, hopefully this kind of gets him on that Swerve track, right? Like, you know, Swerve. I mean, it was a little disappointing with that outcome to me. Like, you know, we've been saying forever we want Swerve to get that, you know, walk out with it. But, you know, hopefully Daniel Garcia, like, he's now at that point where it's like, all right, yeah, let's start taking this guy serious and give him, I mean, you know, maybe, you know, I was kind of shocked because, like, you know, the Copeland Cage doesn't need a belt. Like, could have just done it. But
yeah, especially at this point too, where it's like, it almost feels like it's sort of overstayed its welcome. Mm-hmm. I mean, people pointed out, well, they're in Toronto the next few weeks. So it's like, okay.
Yeah.
So that's probably going to blow things off. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, if you watch the video, Edge was there.
Yeah.
Like, he was there. It would have, you know, made sense. You know, you have people fucking have Edge cost Christian the belt.
Yeah.
That's not what they did. So it doesn't matter. You had Eddie Kingston successfully defend against Brian. And that's the wild thing too about, it's like, there was so much just banger after banger after banger. So many just good fucking matches that it was just like, fuck. Like, there was two matches where I actually got the chance to sort of like breathe.
Yeah.
But aside from that, dude, it was just like, go, 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 go. And what do you call it? You know, we expected that Eddie Kingston and fucking Brian were going to put on a match. And boy, did they, dude. Like, it's funny. It's one of those things where it's like, every time I watch Eddie Kingston wrestle, I'm like, you have to be a baby dick fucking loser to be like, this guy isn't a real professional wrestler. Yeah. Like, that's what a man looks like.
Yeah.
Like, that is a fucking, like, that is what a man looks like.
Yeah.
And again, he wrestled his fucking ass off. Mm-hmm. Him and Brian. Again, it's like, Brian hardly misses when he has these matches. And you think about it, like, last year, Brian had probably the best Iron Man match ever with MJF. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so he can go.
Yeah.
Like, there's no, you know, I wonder if this Brian guy can fucking go. No, it's, you know. And yeah, you know, the whole story, it sort of came full circle, and like, he's now earned everyone's respect in the BCC. Mm-hmm. You know, ultimately shook his hand and stuff like that, and it was awesome. Like, that's the shit I love to see, where it's wrestling, they're telling a story, and
it's not convoluted, right?
No,
yeah,
it doesn't have, like, it's not,
it's all done in the ring. Like, that's, you know, it doesn't have to be anything more than that. So
you had FTR and BCC in the form of Mox and Claudio. This was one of the matches that I had to unfortunately take a breather only because the cats needed to be fed. So it's like I missed probably the first like 5 minutes of the match, but everything else that I did catch, oh my God, dude, it was just fucking nonstop. Like these dudes are just, and again, it's one of my favorite things about these dudes is like they are gonna just beat the shit out of each other. And that's what they did, you know. And they put on a hell of a match. I am actually pretty stoked that Claudio and Mox are now the sort of tag team.
Yeah,
you know, like there's gonna be this tag title tournament, and I'm just like, yo, yeah. Put these fucking dudes in there specifically because you know you look at someone like a Mox, it's like if he wins the tag titles,
yeah,
might be I think their first Triple Crown winner because he's won the international title, yeah, the world title, and you know if he wins the tag titles, I don't know how their system works, yeah. As they've got plenty of mid-card title,
yeah.
But that would be fucking cool. And again, just two dudes that it's just like there's a lot of like AEW specifically was known for a lot of their tag team. Like today, you know it was revealed that like Mike Santana, formerly of you know Proud and Powerful Santana and Ortiz, he was like, oh, or his contract expired, yeah. And you know it was like he was just like, I don't want to be a tag team guy, like yeah. I want to be a singles guy. And to me it's just like, dude, in a roster where you got a fucking, you got Pac, you got Will Ospreay, you have Okada yeah. potentially coming in, you have Swerve, you have Hang, like it's just props to you for wanting to be this single solo star, but like, better you read the room.
Yeah.
Like you think you're gonna get fucking, you think you're gonna get over it when you have fucking Konosuke Takeshita and a Darby Allin out there killing themselves for
I'm sure he'll have some great matches against Josh Alexander, so
sure. Yeah. Yeah, he'll probably again, he is a good fucking he is a really talented dude, so it sucks to see him go because I was a really big fan of, you know, LAX, Proud and Powerful and stuff like that. But yeah, I don't know. Again, I hope they go. Honestly, I hope they win the tag titles.
Yeah.
What do you call it? What the fuck was after that? It's been a long day. I think was the there was the women's match. Mm-hmm. Very weird. Tony Storm and Deonna Purrazzo. Oh, actually, no. That wasn't. Well, I'm already talking about that one. But that was a very weird match. Like, it for a story that had so much story behind it, it just sort of felt like. It never got going.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, it was in first gear and then just sort of like very quickly shifted into a finish that was just like, oh.
Yeah. And I didn't see it, but I know like Pollock even mentioned that where it's like for something that like we have this story, it was like none of that story came into play into the match. Mm-mm. Where it was like, it was just like a one-off, like you would have on a random Dynamite or Rampage or something. It was like none of the, it wasn't like a culmination of anything like you said, they were, you know, the whole thing of like, what did he say? It was like, yeah, like, you know, her going for the ankle lock or whatever and like seeing the tattoo and could have been like, oh, yeah, we are friends or whatever, you know, like none of that really came into play at all.
No, not at all. And again, it's like, I don't know, they might have a big baby face coming in that needs a very strong heel to work. So, you know. That's probably that. There was the Meat Madness match, which I love Wardlow.
Yeah.
I'm happy that he won. I could have done without this. It's just, I'm over this fucking Jericho experiment. Like, it's one of those, it's like, hey, it's funny because it's just like, oh, that guy's not going back to WWE. Triple H is in charge.
We need some, we need to get Fozzy booked in a lot more shows, you know?
And do something. Because, it's just, again, I'm over all the fucking Jericho verse shit and, like there were so many spots, like he did not look good. You know, I'm saying he can't go because he can. Like literally, we just saw like at Wembley.
Yeah.
Him and Ospreay fucking put on a banger of a fucking match, which is again when you're in there with Ospreay.
Yeah.
Very easy. You know, there was like the match in DDT with him and Konosuke. Again, awesome fucking match. Yeah. Like he can go, but for whatever reason, it was a very awkward match. Like. I don't know. Everyone felt off.
Yeah.
Like, and not even just Jericho. Like, yeah. Hook felt off. Fucking poor Dante Martin could not land a goddamn move to save his life. But yeah, you know, Wardlow won. He's, you know, he gets a title shot against Samoa Joe, which should be good. Like, the last few matches, like, remember they had that feud going on for a while, and it was pretty fucking good. I don't think he's getting the belt, you know?
Yeah.
But to me, you know, so they announced this, like, this pay-per-view for April, Dynasty. Dynasty, of course, is the name of a stable that consisted of one Michael Jacob Friedman,
yeah.
Maxwell Jacob Friedman's brother. MJF. Yeah. I think that'd be fucking like, it's one of those where it's like, huh, what if that's a title match? And what if fucking old MJF returns at that, you know? Or MJF gets costs him the match prior, and you know, and so I think MJF will be heavily factored into that match.
You don't think we're getting Hammerstone?
Well, he just signed with TNA.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, maybe Richard Holiday, but like, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very excited for him. There was, again, to me, match of the fucking night in Konosuke Takeshita versus Will Ospreay. Insane, dude. It was like, I literally, like, we were in the group chat. I was like, someone is going to have to kill, which, again, Darby was like, hold my fucking beer. Hold my beer, motherfuckers. Insane. Yeah. Just an insane fucking match. I do not fucking envy anyone who had to fucking cover that match because so many moves. At one point, Konosuke Takeshita counters a Os Cutter into a fucking blue power thunder bomb. One of the most badass fucking counters I've ever seen. And so, and it's also too, I've been seeing online people fucking like cry about like, the psychology in this doesn't make any sense. And there's like a cool sequence of moves. And it's like, dude, if you watch that, like if you watch this sequence, these two dudes perform this fucking awesome sequence of moves. And your first fucking thought is like, you know, like if that's your thought.
Yeah.
Nope. You're not allowed to watch wrestling. I'm revoking your fucking, you don't get to watch wrestling.
Yeah.
Cause again, it's such a fucking dumb thing to complain about. That's what you're complaining about. Like, fuck off. Like, you know, like, it's just, it was such an awesome match to me. And again, like, we're in the group chat. Like, me and Andy were just like, someone better fucking, you know, die or something in the next match. Because I don't know how you're going to fucking top it. And then you have the
match of the decade, right?
It was definitely match of the night. Yeah. But you had the triple threat match with Joe, Hangman, who looks just like Silas Young, which I love that fucking, and Swerve. Yeah, I don't know. To me, again, it was a good match, but it just like, again, it felt like something was missing. Mm-hmm. But you know, Samoa Joe retained. I was actually very shocked. Part of me almost thinks like maybe they're saving the Swerve win for another show. Cause it's like this, you know, the show didn't need it. You already had enough surprises. I completely missed out. You had Roderick Strong defeat Orange Cassidy for the international title. And you had Kyle O'Reilly make his comeback. Again, that was a nice, fun surprise and stuff like that. But the main event was fucking where I was at, you know, fucking Sting's. Someone watched Clerks 3 and decided this is what we're doing for Sting's entrance. Awesome video. Mm-hmm. Like, did you at least watch?
Yeah, I did get to see that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's, you know, Sting in a movie theater reflecting on his old times watching, you know, his career.
Yeah.
Except for a few specific years.
Yeah.
That like fuck WWE for being so petty. Like they let fucking WWE so much of their footage for Cody's documentary. They've always been very nice and like, this person's retiring, or just like always things like that. For Sting's retirement, nothing.
Yeah.
Like, go fuck yourself. Like, again, and it's one of those, to me it's just like so dumb.
Yeah, that's why I was kinda surprised it wasn't in there, because like, yeah, I don't know why they're like, it just seems like such an easy, like, yeah, you can borrow 30 seconds of tape, like it's not a big deal.
Nope. Yeah. Every other company at least tweeted something, posted something. Everyone was tweeting about how much every company.
Yeah.
Except for one.
Yeah.
And I was like, again, it's just so, like, it's just one of those things where it's like, that makes you look fucking petty.
Yeah.
That makes you look dumb and petty.
Yeah.
But a cool entrance again. After that, you had Sting. You had Sting and his two sons. One clearly way more into it than the other. One clearly that had to be like talked into dressing up like NWO Sting, or just did not give a fuck.
Yeah.
Or maybe was
he was just mad he got Wolfpack Sting.
Yeah. He's like, I wanted to be, but like, dude, again, his sons.
Yeah.
Just miniature versions of him.
Yeah. The Wolfpack. Because the other one came out, you know, he did the whole woo and everything like that. And then the other one came out and I was like, I think he just got, like, to me it looked like, I was like, did he just get fucking, like, soup, like, oh, there's 16,000 people in here.
And honestly, that might, dude, I'll say this. As someone who's not a wrestler, I remember coming out for All In.
Yeah.
And that was, like, 11,000-something people.
Mm-hmm.
I remember just like walking on stage, and it's one of those things where it's like you see the sort of people around, but then looking around and taking everything in, like it's fucking daunting.
Yeah.
Even to the point where I remembered, you know, the penis druid thing.
Yeah.
Like when I wrestled that freelance coming out, and just again, that was maybe 300-400 people, and like still seeing that and just like, what the fuck? Yeah. Like, it can be a daunting fucking thing. So, yeah, I don't know if it was nerves or, again, he was just like, I don't want it to be fucking Great American Bash. But, dude, awesome fucking match. Like, you know, and I'm glad they, you know, they let Sting win.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was the perfect fucking thing. You know?
It really was,
Yeah, the Bucks were excellent, you know, foils to them. The awesome fucking, again, the awesome bump that, like, the little dick fucking losers to be like, oh, like Jonathan Coachman, the littlest fucking loser dick of them all, was just like, oh, they gotta stop doing this. They don't care about their wrestlers. Things like that where it's just like, this isn't every Darby match.
Yeah.
If every Darby match, he's doing a fucking swanton off a fucking 20-foot ladder into glass panels, sure. Sure.
Yeah.
Do that. But it's just, it's the hackiest thing. It's like saying fucking, like, John Moxley, he has not bled in a match since All In. Still, it's always like, oh my God, John Moxley's going to fucking bleed in this match. Or it's like all out. Like, he's not bled for a fucking while. And it's like, oh my God, I guess he's going to bleed in this match now, huh? And it's just like, that, like, again, little dick fucking loser.
Yeah.
Like, find something else to fucking, that's your gripe?
Yeah.
You're getting a fucking awesome match and your gripe is like, this person's bleeding too much for my liking. Like, little dick energy. Little dick energy, dude. Yeah. That's all I'm going to fucking say. But awesome match. Like, again, I know you said you watched just the highlights of it.
Yeah. I mean, I saw that spot. Like, that was fucking insane. So, yeah, in a good way.
Yeah. And then again, you know, had his farewell speech. It was an awesome show. Again, I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And they announced the fucking Dynasty show, and I think I'm going to go.
Yeah.
I mean, I just got to make the trip out there. I'll get in the fucking door.
Yeah.
Like, I remember Clifford Frazier a few weeks ago, he stopped by the shop, and it was the day of a freelance show.
Yeah.
Which, this week, I'm going to a freelance. Ooh, so this week, I'm really fucking excited. Wait,
speaking of Clifford, is the rat still around?
Oh, the rat. Dude, we can go see the rat hole.
Yeah.
I have not been there. I've been seeing another rat hole driving to Frank's house. Fucking.
Yeah.
But, it's like literally like right over here too. So we'll go. Yeah. We might go see the rat hole after this, you guys. But yeah, he was here. He was picking up some stuff and he was talking to like me and Castro. It was a freelance show. And we're like, are you going? And he's like, oh, like I think someone was like, yeah, it might be sold out. And he's like, you think I can't get into a freelance show? Like, you think Matt Nix is not going to let me into a freelance show? And it's like, yeah, man, if there's someone who can get into a show without a ticket,
yeah,
it's fucking Clifford Frazier. Yeah,
absolutely.
But no, I'm going to a freelance show Thursday.
Okay.
The day after you leave. It's at Emporium. There's with a barcade here in Chicago. They freelance those wrestling shows there. And I've yet to go to one. I've never been to one. But two of my favorite people in Trevor Outlaw and Danhausen, they're wrestling each other. So that I got to be there to fucking to support my boys. I got to be there for that. Effie and Ali Catch are they're wrestling for the tag titles. And probably my favorite wrestler, Alex Olsen. He's one of my buddies. I've told the story of him before. You know, he's one of our buddies. He's freelance legend, honestly. Yeah. He met Nix and Christopher Castro. They used to be friends with or they are friends with Mark Andrews and Pete Dunne. Like when they came to the US, they stayed with Nick. They stayed at his house, and you know, so they all became real close friends and stuff like that. And this was years ago, maybe like four. This is definitely pre-COVID, but there was at the Cicero Stadium here, there was a what do you call it? A progress show.
Okay,
this was like before fucking WWE absorbed fucking progress and stuff like that. And British Strong Style was there, you know, Trent Seven, Tyler Bate, and Pete Dunne. And, you know, we're watching the show and all that. And then afterwards, we're like, oh, we're going to go say hi. And we walk up to the table, and Trent Seven just stops. He goes, holy shit. He goes, it's the hardcore legend, Alex Olsen. And we're just like, what the fuck? And he's just like, yeah, that's me. He's like, oh my God. He's like, they're like, you're real? It's like him and Tyler Bate they're freaking the fuck out. And Pete's like, yeah, I told you, like, he's real. They're like, dude, he's always talking about you. He's always telling stories about you. Like, we didn't think you existed. And Olsen's kind of just like, yeah, man, it's me. And if you know Olsen, you know, he's an eccentric fella. So it's like, okay, the stories of him, it's like, yeah, it would make sense. And they were just like, dude, like, can we get a picture with you? Like, it was just so funny. They were just so excited to see him. But him and Matt Nix are teaming up to face our buddy Craig Mitchell and Shane Mercer. So I'm excited.
Yeah.
You know, I was worried for a while I was going to be let into Emporium. Might still not, you know. Yeah. It's fine. There's three locations. fuck, I don't even know how the fuck I got there.
I don't know. Oh, you're just talking about freelance.
Yeah. Hey, you were at a fucking Mexican party this weekend.
Oh yeah, I was. Yeah.
Yeah, was that?
You know, it's just me and the family. La familia. So yeah, man, it was a 1-year-old's birthday party, and I got good and lit, so it was I needed it. It was one of those ones where it's like, I text a cousin of Rigo's, and I was like, hey, I haven't been drunk in a while. I want to get drunk. You down? She's like, yeah, fuck yeah. Like, all right, let's do this.
Hey, you know, the bar from Drinking Buddies isn't too far from here either.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Oh. I've never been, because I don't go to bars.
Yeah.
Like, that's the one thing I was having a conversation with Paul. Like, you met him earlier. Yeah. It's also one of those things, funny, because like I always talk about these people to you, but I also talk about you to them.
Yeah.
So it's like one of those things, you know, like you and Jeremy, like downstairs, and you've met Jeremy before.
But it was we did a, I think, did we do a, we did something together.
We've podcasted the trio of us before, what the fuck were we talking about, me and Paul?
About drinking. Or not.
Oh, no, yeah. It was like one of those things where I was just like, I was telling him about, like, oh, I saw you at my best friend's thing. It's like, you mean my uncle's fucking funeral?
Yeah.
And it was one of those things where I was like, listen, I was like, I'm not looking for these fucking, you know, short-term things anymore. Like, I'm looking for a wife, you know? And, wait, how the fuck did they even get into this conversation?
I don't know.
What the fuck were we just talking about?
We're talking about drinking buddies and how you don't go to these bars. Oh,
yeah, and it was like one of those things where I was like, I was like, I guess I should probably start going out places. I can't, but I was like, listen, I was like, to be fair, like currently right now, it's one of those things where it's like, forget about Hinge, dude, TikTok's where it's at. Like, I don't know how these women keep finding me. And, you know, it's like fucking, this song by Sexy Red, you know, fucking Don't Save Me. I don't want to be saved.
Yeah,
that's me right now. That's where I'm at in my Sexy Red era. Yeah. You know.
Yeah, you seem like you're hurting. Anyway, yeah. Birthday party. It was a lot of fun. You know, got some stole some candy from somebody who stole candy from kids.
Was it Mexican candy or was it American candy?
Yeah, it was Mexican.
Ugh. hate Mexican candy.
Oh yeah, you don't like the chile.
No. Like this fucking, like, oh, here. I was like,
yeah.
Yeah, I was like, I'm not Mexican. Drew is the Mexican one. our waitress at the fucking, someone that I know. You know, she like brought over, because me and Drew, I took him to this place called The Art of Chicken here in Chicago. Very good chicken. If you guys are ever in Chicago and want some good chicken.
Get the jefe.
Yeah. They have the El Jefe. They have another one, but I prefer this one. This one has more of a flavor to it. The other one's a little too sweet. My friend, she was just like, oh, here, she's like, here's the one without chile for the Mexican, and laughed. And I'm just like, yeah, I'm not Mexican. Drew is the Mexican one.
That's right.
That's why he got fucking chile on his. But yeah, dude.
Just fair skinned.
Yeah. I'm like, he's from fucking, I'm trying to think. I don't even, dude, I know so little about Mexico. Like, I know there's some places where like there are like very like light skinned, like Mexican people.
That's what I was wondering. Like, you know, like in the black community,
Aguascaliente. Like, that's where you're from, Aguascaliente. Yeah.
Like in the black community, that's like the red bones, right? The light skin. Like, is there like a term for light skinned, like Mexicans?
There is. I don't know the term off the top of my head, because it's one of those like, it's one of those things where it's like people care a lot about it. You know, it's like, and I'm just like,
I'm a cousin of Canelo, so.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, it's like, I know a lot of, like, darker skin, you know, darker skin, like, you know, like, Mexican people, specifically with, like, more white passing, you know, people have a problem.
Mm.
And, you know, I, like, depending on how much sun I get, I don't know, like, I mean, I don't think I'm white passing, but I also don't think I'm like super dark.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like right there in the middle. It is always funny though, when I hear, people refer to themselves as white passing, as I think I've talked about before, my old white passing, it was like my white passing Latina therapist, where it's like, you are not white passing. I have been with you to know 5 minutes in the sun. Like, you're nice and crispy. You are fucking, you look like that fucking half egg chicken that we had. But yeah, no, like Canelo. Yeah. And he's also a redhead.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. There's this one on TikTok that I used to follow. Like, again, white, like, I don't, what is it about you redheads?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, she was like, honestly, like, your complexion, freckles, like red hair, and I thought like she was just good at Spanish, but it's like, nah, man. She's just sort of, yeah, like light complexion, you know, kind of like Wes.
Yeah,
like he's not really Mexican though.
No, he's super white.
Yeah, and they're vegan too.
Yeah, ugh. Just look at his hood.
Yeah. So again, we have, you know, have you here for, well, at least for tomorrow.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think Wednesday. I'm probably not going to see you.
Yeah, not really.
But I do have some stuff. I think possibly tomorrow for dinner, we're going to hit up Pequod's.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, of course, the bear fame, you know, which Ryan sent me something that they're filming. I'm like, oh, maybe we can be fucking, go find fucking like where they're filming and then be extras. Yeah. I was like, hey, guys. Yeah, we'll be in the background of the scene. Yeah. Oh, I would love it, because I know there's so many people that don't like me that watch the show. So they just see, like, you know, to see us specifically. Like, I know there's some people specifically, if they saw you and I in the fucking background, they'd be like, fucking, oh, these disgusting little pigs. I'm not watching this show anymore.
We're, you know, Chicago staple, BWT cast.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Fuck, yeah. I'm trying to think. So yeah, I mean, there's other things, but I don't want to spoil them. I mean, we're gonna go stop by the horror house at some point. You know, visit our good friend of the show, Vinny.
That's right,
Vinny Malave. Yeah. I don't know. Is there anything you want to do while you're in Chicago? I mean, you mentioned the rat hole.
Yeah, I mean that. Now that I remember that. No, there's not really a lot. I mean, it's really just to hang out and podcast live.
Yeah, it's so funny to me, because
like literally a horror house was like the only thing I wanted to get in. Like, I was like, we talked about it afterwards, like, shit, we should have went when we were like here before, but it's all right.
It's funny because like if people are like, oh, because I mentioned like, yeah, you know, Drew's coming. Even like I like my therapist, like, what do you guys do? Oh, podcast?
Yeah.
Oh, the same thing we do every week, yeah, except this time we're in the same room together.
Yeah.
In my studio apartment in Chicago, Illinois.
That's right.
Yeah. It's just, you know, it's just like, hey, we're on podcast today, and we're on podcast tomorrow, and we're, maybe we'll do two podcasts tomorrow. Like, it's just, like, I'm literally taking a half day tomorrow just so that
we can podcast.
We can podcast and stuff like that. But, yeah, I mean, oh, that's what I was going to fucking say. So I completely got off topic where I'm just like, yeah, I'm looking for a fucking wife, but it's just like, yeah, I don't go anywhere.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, when I am in public, like I told you, I went to buy a book.
Yeah.
Old fucking half price book. And like the girl was totally flirting with me.
Yeah.
And I'm fucking pussy where I'm just like, oh, like, you know, again, could have been like fucking old Wesley and just, you know, put the moves in.
That's right.
I heard he used to be a ladies' man.
He you know, was.
Yeah. God, I can't wait for Cash's half brother to show up one of these days.
I know. Oh, God, that would be so awesome.
Like, it doesn't happen anymore. So it has to happen at some point to someone we know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Wes for, you know, procreation is purely for married couples.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know this about me. I'm really religious. Oh, wait, I didn't even tell you. We stopped at the fucking the Oasis on the way back from Rockford. Because again, I drove. I'm also running on no sleep, if you guys can tell. I'm just all over the place. I did take a 2-hour nap, but for the most part, I am running on no sleep. And so I drove an hour and a half to go pick up young Drew here. And then on the way back, we stopped at this like random Oasis. And in the bathroom, there was a bunch of little flyers that was just like, homosexuality is grooming children. Like some weird fucked up like...
Yeah.
And I was gonna like, I didn't even want to touch it. I was like, ugh. But it was just like one of these things where I was like, again, he's like, what a fucking loser. Yeah. Like, leave gay people alone. Yeah. Like, it's one of the, it's, you constantly see on TV, like, pastor, cop, fucking all these people that like are shitty people getting arrested for fucking like molesting children. Yeah. It's never like drag queen, fucking, you know, drugs little kids.
No.
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 It's always like
it's the people you trust.
Exactly.
Yeah. Actually, there's a funny, well, not really a funny thing that happened with Rigo, but like Rigo in the community he used to stay in, like it was very like what and like, and he was always getting fucking side eyed from like everybody in his fucking little cul-de-sac. And one day, like one of the guys is like the neighbors gets fucking arrested because he. Like at some birthday party in the neighborhood had like fucked around with one of the kids. And he was like, yeah, he's like, I'm just Mexican. You let that guy into your fucking house. So don't fucking talk to me.
Dude, you know what's fucking scary? So I mentioned last week, 2 weeks ago now, probably when I was with my sister and my nephews, my sister has on her phone that like pedophile app.
Oh yeah.
And it was just like, you know, we're at like Target and stuff. And it's just like fucking, oh, there's someone within a mile here who's a fucking registered sex offender. And this is one of those things where I'm like, again, like I don't have any kids, obviously. Yeah. But it's just like, I would, like anytime I read fucking stories about like, oh, this person, you know, kid got molested. And then the, you know, mom or dad went to jail because they killed a person. I'm like, absolutely not. They should be absolutely, like, I wish there was a fucking... Jimmy McGill, Kim Wexler, fucking like lawyer, just get him off. Like I honestly.
Well, that's what's up with the one UFC guy right now, right?
Yeah. It's like no, under no circumstance you should be commended. You should get a purple heart.
Cain Velasquez.
Yeah. You should get a purple heart. Like, kill all Nazis, kill all fucking pedophiles. Like I have zero problem with just you know. Oh, I did go see Dune though this fucking weekend, dude. I'm telling like so I know like I don't. Did you ever even see the first one?
No, I was gonna wait to do the back to back thing because I was like, that's what people like kept telling me. They're like, it just kind of ends and like
they both lead right in, right into
like,
the other one.
All
right,
well, no, I'll wait then.
Which was funny. I think it was like Andy who was like, "Hey, can I just go watch part two without watching part one?" He's like, "I got 3 hours to kill." I was like, "Absolutely not. You will understand zero of it." You know, because again, even with me having just recently seen it, there was some stuff where I was kind of just like.
Who's this?
Yeah. Oh, okay.
What is that?
Dude, again, I know I speak in hyperbole a lot, but literally, this might be one of the best fucking movies I've ever seen. like to the point where both Wes and I, again, we're fucking sucking this movie's dick to no fucking end. I was like, we're both like, I think we're going to read the books.
Yeah.
And like, I, okay, reading in general is something that I've tried to get back into. You know, I,
this is where Andy turns the podcast off.
You know, again, I, like I said, I literally went to Half Price Book, picked up a book. Like, I read a lot of comics, but I want to read like actual, like fiction, you know, or nonfiction. I love autobiographies. Yeah. You know, I talked about that Juicy J autobiography fucking every week that I read it. And I've always heard, again, W.H. Park is like, dude, the books are really good. The books are really good. And like through TikTok, I've been seeing a lot of people talk about the stuff that happens in the book. It just sounds fucking crazy that I'm like, ah, man, this like Frank Herbert loved fucking cocaine and mushrooms. And it makes perfect sense when you fucking read and hear some of the things that he did within this like giant universe. My favorite thing, too, is the fact that like it's no secret. Like George Lucas directly lifted so much of Dune to the point it's like a desert planet. But like so much of Dune lifted it into Star Wars where it's like people are like, yeah, fucking Anakin Skywalker is Paul Atreides. And people are like, no, no, he's not. This movie just came out. And it's like, no, this book was like 6 years before the movie even came out. It's like, no, he's not. Shut up. Shut up. And it's just, you know, it's just funny where it's like, I think George Lucas has been like, yeah, no, I directly lifted many themes and character, like, and, but people, you know, it's like, it ha- like I see it as all again sort of like, you know, it's like WWE brain where it's like you can just be like, oh, I really like this match with the Young Bucks and Sting, and it's like, yeah, well, guess what, the New Day is better, fuck them, Undertaker's in the, and it's just like, I didn't say anything to contradict, like I just said I enjoy this thing, and it's like this instant attack. But no, dude, Dune 2 fucking awesome. Like this movie, like this made me, I did not understand Timothy Chalamet. I didn't get the hype. I did, like, it was just one of those, like, ah, he's fine. I am, again, I am willing to go to war for fucking Paul, fucking Madib, a fucking, a arch, you know, the fucking Duke, a fucking, Arrakis, you know? Fucking, I, dude, I, that's the thing that I keep fucking saying. I 1,000% understand MAGA people now. I understand how they so blindly follow Donald Trump. I understand people in cults. Like, by the time that fucking third act rolls around, again, I was ready to go to fucking war. I was going to fucking fight on behalf of the fucking Fremen to fucking overthrow fucking Emperor Christopher Walken. Like, I was there, dude. I was like, let's fucking, you know. And
well, we talked about it with you know, Rise of the Planet of the Apes. Like, that's why I was like, yeah, fucking let's go. Yeah, I'll fucking run right along with you guys up across the bridge,
dude. I'm like, again, I'm telling you, there's fuck, man, there's so many fuck, there's literally like, oh god, there's the climax of the fucking film. Just like insane. There's a scene where, because the people, you know, there's a giant sandworm, you know, fucking. There's this scene where there's three people riding three giant fucking sandworms, just fucking dudes up. Like, it is one of these things where it's like, and dude, Zendaya, fucking amazing in this one. Like, she is such a badass. But, like, honestly, there's a point where for the last, like, 40 minutes, she has nothing.
More women power, man.
Oh, God. It's very woke.
Yeah.
No, like, she doesn't say anything. She's out of lines.
Yeah.
But everything is just in her face. Just everything just in her face. And it's just like, she is so good. And just, and like, if you ever watched like Euphoria or anything she's been in, like, she is an amazing actor. And this, again, and just her facials and her just fucking, the way she's just staring at fucking Timothy Chalamet, you're just like, you don't got to say shit.
Yeah.
You don't have to say anything, because everything that you're saying right there, it's right there in the eyes. And yeah, dude, again, just such a good fucking, like, I'm for sure gonna go fucking see it again. I didn't get up once to use the bathroom. You know, I saw it wasn't recliner seats, it was fucking normal regular ass seats. Like, you know, like we were talking about, like, fucking, oh, I miss these old movie theaters. They came back because, you know, those were the seats that we were sitting in. But fuck, dude, it was just so fucking good. Like, and it, again, to the point where I was like, I think I'm gonna read the 600 page fucking book so then I can get to the next 600 fucking page book.
Yeah, man.
Yeah,
that's exciting.
Yeah, all hail
and fucking for a part 3.
Oh, Listen, you can't guarantee anything. Mm-hmm. It's Warner Brothers, so it's one of those, like, yeah. It's sort of up in the air, but like.
Well, I think enough people are seeing this one now. Like, this isn't a fucking Black Adam. Like people I work with, I overheard talking about, like, oh yeah, I'm gonna go see Dune this weekend. Like, this is something that people were excited about.
Yeah, all hail Al Ghadib. You know, there's only one fucking person I worship. One thing that I worship, and his name is fucking Shai Halud, the fucking giant sandworm.
Yeah.
No. Is there anything else?
No, man. I think that's pretty much everything.
Yeah, right. Because we're about to let's go hit up my girlfriend again. Get another day.
Yeah.
We're gonna go see James.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll catch up with James. I mean,
it's been a while.
It's been a while for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know. The night is young. I'm also fucking again running on no sleep. So we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, I too have been up since like 4:30. So. Yeah.
We're old men now.
I know.
Like, that's the thing.
4:30 Eastern, so 3:30 here.
Yeah, because it was pretty late when you fucking texted me. Yeah, that's the one thing, too, that I was, like, talking about with my therapist. I was like, I can't date anyone young. My last girlfriend was 3 years younger than me, and it doesn't seem like a lot, but I'm just like, I'm an old man. Like, I don't want to fucking be out. Like, fucking, it's not past 9.
I do kind of worry about that. Like, there's, you know, I was talking to you about somebody that I was talking to that is younger, and like I thought about that. It's like, fuck, like, am I gonna be able to keep up? I just wanna nap anytime, let alone if I do any physical exertion. Yes.
And that's the thing with me where it's like, again, it's like, it's all just situational.
Yeah.
I mean, again, with this last person, I got very lucky in that, like, we had a very similar, like, social battery, mm-hmm. in that it was just like, hey, how about we just stay in and fucking just fucking watch TV all day? You want to watch SpongeBob all day? Sure. I'll get us pizza and we can just watch fucking SpongeBob all day. I didn't give a fuck about that little fucking stupid sponge.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, because it's like, I say that as if, like, I've never really dated many girls that, like, are super, like, no, they're, you know, I'm usually, like, they're the one, because I'm fucking, I'm going to go out with this, just because I told Steve Feast that, like, and I was like, oh, you'll hear about it on the podcast. So I had a fucked up dream. I'm not going to mention who.
Yeah.
It involved an ex-girlfriend of mine. Pick and choose. You guys can fucking pick your favorite one that I've talked about, and you insert them in here. So... I have this dream that I meet this girl. Mm-hmm. I don't know who this woman is, you know, but like we start dating, everything's fucking hitting it off. And then she tells me that she has to break up with me because she heard something about me. Sounds familiar, right?
Yeah.
And I'm just like, what the fuck? Like, well, what did you hear? And she's like, I don't know. And then I get a phone call from this ex-girlfriend of mine. And it's weird because I have not even thought about this person. Yeah. I don't ever really talk about them. Unless I'm making fun of them on here.
Yeah.
It just hadn't, this is you know, and I'm just like, what the fuck? You know, we'll say Lucy. And I'm just like, what the fuck? And then Lucy's like, it was like, I'm trying to help you. Like, I'm trying to help you clear your name. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, why? Like, what'd you hear? And it's just like, I heard that she was like, Eddie Kingston and CM Punk were involved in a murder. They're being framed for a murder and you're being named as an accomplice. And that's like going around and people think that like you murdered someone. And I was like, what the fuck? And mind you, this was last Thursday where I was also running on very little fucking sleep all week. And so I finally fell asleep at like 9. Mm-hmm. Like it got to me fucking early, dude. In this dream, like, you know, this ex and I, you know, we help clear the names of CM Punk and Eddie Kingston. And like, we have this like this talk that we should have had, but we never did, you know? And again, it's also one of those things where it's like, I think we've talked about it, where it's like, there's no such thing as closure.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I'm sure everyone, you know, anyone here can attest anytime you've had closure with someone, there's always more to say.
Yeah.
Like never. But at least in this dream, it was one of those things where I woke up and I was just like, what the fuck? This is fucking weird. This is fucked up. It was 3 a.m. in the morning. And I only know that because I literally opened up my phone and like put it in the notes app. This is fucked up. This is fucking weird.
Just, I, I can't wait for you to watch The Sopranos. There's a whole thing about 3 a.m. that is fucking fan. And that's all I could fucking think of was Paulie waking up at 3 a.m.
Well, that's like the witching hour, dude. Yeah. Like,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
So, yes. For those Sopranos fans, know exactly what I'm talking about.
So I take a piss, get some water, and I'm like, I'm gonna go back to sleep. Then here comes the, again, I thought that first dream was fucked up. Yeah. So in this dream, again, I get another call from Lucy. Mm-hmm. Claude, and it's just like, I need your help. Like, you know, please, can you help me? Like, I helped you. Can you help me? And it's like, sure. I'll repay the favor. Like, I'll help.
This is like Dune Part 2.
Dude, honestly, with how like random and epic it fucking gets,
yeah,
you're not far off. This might have been, and Vivian says it's because it's Pisces season, and yeah, a lot of people are having like dreams about their exes and stuff like that. So I'm like, good, I hope I'm hunting these fucking bitches' dreams. Except for Gloria. Gloria's fine.
Yeah.
Paula, too. It's fine. I forgive her. But the rest of them, I'm fucking kill them. No, yeah. I'm kidding. Don't kill girls.
No, I'm just kidding.
Well, maybe the one. Yeah. So the second dream, you know, again, Lucy comes. She's, and I'm like, sure, like, okay, whatever. Like, I guess.
One of them are gonna end up dead. This is gonna be.
I mean, fucking.
Because you know, like court transcripts, there's never like a. And then he said, "Yeah, I'd kill one of them."
No, I didn't say. No. I didn't say I was gonna kill anyone. I said, "Go kill yourself."
Yeah, that's true.
But no, don't. There's fucking, the one said she was going to do it, and I was like, okay, do it, and she never did, and it fucking cost me more problems than fucking anything, so, you know. Some of us are people, are man of our words.
Yeah.
I'm a fucking hypocrite saying that. So she calls, and she's like, oh, hey, which, yeah, fucking legally, fucking tell Saul Goodman or Jimmy McGill, whoever my lawyer is. She's like, I need help, and I'm like, oh, what is it? And it's like, this dude that I'm dating, he's a vampire.
Mm-hmm.
And they work in this like office building, and he and the other vampires are gonna turn everyone into a vampire, and like, I don't want to be turned into one. He said, I don't have a choice. Like, I need help in getting everyone to escape.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, okay, I guess, like, I'm gonna, you know, I gotta fucking help and stuff like that. And I try to help and I fail. Don't save people. Like, people, literally, it's one of those things where, like, people are fucking, you know, vampires are swooping in, fucking biting people on the neck and stuff. And she's like, run, run, go away. Like, go down that hallway. There's that door. Just keep going, keep going. And I'm fucking running for my life. And I'm like, come on. And it's just like, no, no, no. You know, like, she sacrificed herself, essentially. And I'm fucking, like, running, and I'm fucking running. And I fucking, boom, go through this door. And I'm in the fucking frozen food section. Like, I go through, like, a pair of doors. And the doors, it's, Jewel. It's a grocery store here in Chicago. And I'm by the frozen food section, specifically the one by where I grew up at. And I'm just like, what the fuck? Like, and again, and I'm still, and I know what the fuck is behind me. So I'm fucking running, because I've seen enough fucking horror movies. Mm-hmm. You keep fucking running. Don't mm-hmm. stop running.
Right.
You know? And I like come outside, and it was very much like in Planet of the Apes, where I look at the fucking building and I'm just like, holy shit, there's a fucking whole vampire cult underneath this. And I wasn't able to stop them. And they're going to fucking go get everyone. They're going to get everyone in that fucking store. And that's when I woke up again, and I was just like, what the fuck, man? Because again, like, it was just the two most random fucking back-to-back dreams. And again, I don't ever dream about this person. I don't even think about this person. Mm-hmm. But it was just like the way that fucking, and that happened, I was tripping the fuck out. And like, normally, like, I was telling Vivian, which I'm sure she'll be able to tell us more about this week later on when she does our reading. But I was like, I don't even fucking like take melatonin anymore. And that's when I would have really fucked up dreams. Yeah. I would take melatonin. Sometimes I would do it on purpose. This time wasn't one of those times. It was just so fucking weird, dude.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds weird.
Again, like, with how vivid it was too, like, to the point where I woke up and was just like, okay.
You're like, no. What does everybody being vampires mean? Of course, if you look it up, it's always you're gay.
Yeah, right? It's like, yeah, it's like you're gay and you're gonna die. And I'm like, oh, man, I guess let me look that up. Actually,
yeah, vampires in dreams. What does it mean?
Yeah, what do vampires in dreams mean? It means you suck. Ha ha ha.
It actually has like parentheses, red like the count. Yeah, man, that's kind of crazy. I wonder what the significance of her sacrificing herself. Maybe because that person was such a shitty person that
dreaming of vampires can represent a fear of being drained or taken advantage of by others.
Huh. All right.
Well,
that person was a vampire.
Definitely, yeah. This person definitely was a fucking vampire. I'm a fucking bitch. But
actually, I think you dated a couple vampires.
Which is funny because there's this one song. This is Mexican. Because
I literally just said that about somebody else.
He did. There's this. You know, we're gonna. I'm gonna turn this very quickly into a music. Well, actually, let's see if it even works.
Yeah.
An episode of Scrimmager's Music Box, because there is this one song that I was gonna pick for our Halloween episode.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of vampires, actually, let's see if it fucking works. What the fuck? Oh, let's see if this works, guys.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. This song is called Vampiresa, which is like the female form of a vampire. Yeah, it might still wind up on the actual music box.
Yeah.
About a vampire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know who's not vampires?
Yeah. You know who doesn't suck?
Yeah. Who doesn't suck and don't fucking drain you out of everything?
Are the wonderful patrons of the show. Again, patreon.com/PWTcast. Again, brand new month. As low as $5 to sign up. Fucking, you know. Always love when we get new people signed up. Mm-hmm. Over a back catalog of over 150 fucking movie reviews. You know, there's a Power Ranger retrospective show that I did. There's fucking there's some episodes of fucking Scrum Detective Agency. Hey, you guys.
Yeah.
There's just a bunch of fun Patreon stuff. But yeah, a huge shout out to, again, people that don't suck. Clifford Frazier, Jesse Kohlenberg, Joshua Davis, Neil Flanagan, Jonathan Mayer, Hot Topic Joe, Ryan Crossley, this week's guest of on I guess we could put it in fucking Detective Agency, as it is a little spooky in the occult. Vivian Urbina, my Godfather Jesus.
Shout out Jesus.
Shout out Jesus. Steve Feast, Rachel Sayarto, Lil Count Chocula. I don't know why I said Chocula. Lucy Salgado, Lupe Dominguez, The Kings of Sport Podcast, Darren Kissler, and Steve Grows Weed. Drew, what do you guys got going on over the draft pie this week?
This week, it will be coming out late because of the traveling. I think we're going to record Thursday, so it'll probably come out Friday. So look for that a little bit later in your feed. But it is our Oscars. Next weekend is Oscar night, and we're gonna
Hollywood's biggest night.
That's right. So we're gonna talk about it, and we're gonna bring on our favorite our favorite movie guy, and that's Wes Allen. He's been doing this with us for probably since like 2018. Like, he's been coming on to talk movies, like the best movies of the year. So, you know, it's a tradition.
A man knows a movie.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
He's going to pick that. What was that movie? The one about like the trafficking of children and all that.
The Sound of Music, or some shit like that. Yeah, the Sound of Freedom. Sound of Freedom.
Yeah, yeah. That's going to be number one on Wes's.
God. We got to, dude. We got to do something about him.
I know.
We got to fucking. We can't keep letting him getting away with it.
I know.
Fuck yeah. Awesome.
But now he's got those new shoes that he's flaunting at everybody too.
What new shoes?
The Trump shoes. The January 6s.
Yeah, that is true. There's one thing I know about Wes. You know, dudes in Ohio. White dudes in Ohio love Donald Trump.
That's right.
All right, guys. Well, fuck yeah. Again, this is a, you know, live week here. We're live, pal. Here this week at the BWT cast. So the next time you hear us again, we'll be talking music, possibly with James, possibly not. Who knows? We'll also be talking some fucking horoscopes. I should get Vivian your time of birth. So,
yeah.
All right, guys. For this live episode of the BWT cast, I've been Scrump.
I've been Little Count Chocula.
And this is friend of the show, Kenny Omega.
Kenny Omega here, friend of the show. We've run out of things to say here at the PWT Cast, and so I must bid you adieu. Goodbye and good night. Bang, bang.